Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast. Duhon, Steve Francis, Joey Devine, Michael Sweetney, Jerome James, Sean Keane, Andrea Bargnani, Jared Jeffries, special guest Jason Buford, Ronaldo Volkman, definitely not Rolando Blackman, Patreons Patrick Disselhorst, thank you Patrick, Chris Burton, thank you Chris, Justin Soa, thank you Justin, musical guest the King of New York, Kendrick Lamar! And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and I am back with my best friend, my co-host, your uncle dad, Sean Keane, for another episode. Sean, how is it going?
It's all right. It's not bad. I did. I met another baby, Joey.
Wow. You are constantly meeting babies.
You know, it's crazy that this keeps happening. This is a friend of mine. She already had like a pretty little baby. Mm-hmm. And I like just didn't. Was not aware that she was having an additional baby. And she kept talking about the baby, and I was like, yeah, the baby's like two. And then she was like, you know, I have a fresh baby. And then I met that baby yesterday. Pretty good baby. Standing up, like to have its arms held and standing up, and it was 3 months old.
Wow.
I was like, this baby is going to be an athlete. Too bad your parents hated soccer, because you could have really done some stuff in your youth, I feel like.
Sean, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We're recording this at 11:01 p.m. on Wednesday, February 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
We are 25 hours away from the premiere of Reacher on Amazon.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you excited?
I am, and...
Are you going to sleep?
I mean, I'm excited. Well, you know what it is? Okay, so... Damon Agnes and I recorded a fairly long podcast to be based on a 2-minute trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we independently are both reading other Jack Reacher books. Mm-hmm. We did not agree on this and have just been I've received two different like screen record audio messages from Damon with just amazing things from an audiobook of Jack Reacher I've never read, describing his body. And Joey, I don't know if you're familiar. You've not read a Reacher book, right?
No, I listened to the one the movie was based on, I believe.
Okay, okay, yeah. So he has a certain style, and they're just describing... It's just this long stretch where he's like, big hands, massive hands that could grab, corded forearms, 6'2", 220, 230, big calves, standing, attached to large quadriceps. Like, just these, like, staccato sports writer one sentence paragraphs, but it's just like this meticulous description of Jack Reacher's body.
It's but it's like the kid stays in the picture, kind of, right? The way the how short the sentences are.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Big thighs, turned up cat.
Robert Evans. That's who I'm talking about. Why couldn't I remember Robert Evans?
Robert Evans. I want to read you just a passage from a book called Tripwire that I'm reading right now.
Sure.
And this is Jack Reacher's meeting a woman and remembering hanging out with this woman. Here's the passage. Reacher nodded. He remembered. He remembered the smell of her hair that day in the hot Pacific sun. Clean, young hair. He remembered the feel of her body against his. He remembered the feel of her long, thin arm around his waist. He remembered screaming at himself, "Hold on, pal. She's only 15, and she's your CO's daughter."
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
That's a troubling paragraph, but I would say the most, typical... Like, most Lee Child part of that is having a three-word sentence that's just clean, young hair. It's kind of amazing because Jack Reacher, like, really is an animal. Mm-hmm. And you know how, like, the Bosch books and the Lincoln Lawyer books are about a guy who's like, I like this restaurant. Like, I have this work where I solve crime, but I'm like, I really love these certain things about, you know, the place I live in and people. Jack Reacher's just like, there's a scene in this book where he's in a house and he's like, man, I can't even imagine cutting grass just to see it grow again. He's like, I just lived in army bases and cheap motels. I can't imagine anything else. And then there's a point when he's like, this house might be shitty enough that I could stay in it for a while. I mean, they're awesome, but it's also very weird to have a character that sort of doesn't have an interior life.
Mm-hmm.
And his
interior radio in his head, though.
He has an interior radio.
We talked about this last week.
He also has an interior alarm that he can. Yeah. Anyway, I am very excited about the premiere of Reacher. Yes.
All right. Sean, that brings us to our first news story.
Yes.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Sean, are you more excited for Reacher? Or to watch our boy Andrew Wiggins in the All-Star game, baby?
The most deserving All-Star starter since AC Green, baby. Ow, ow, ow!
All right, first off, let's talk about this.
Yes.
We're a little late on this, but go ahead.
We
just haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
I was on the record saying, like, I didn't think Andrew Wiggins should be an All-Star. But no. The way people reacted when Andrew Wiggins was voted to the All-Star game, I'm at my heart a contrarian. I'm a terrible person. Made me think, you know what? Andrew Wiggins is actually the most deserving All-Star.
I mean, it's also, to me, it's weird because it feels like people who were reacting this way have never seen an All-Star vote in any sport in their lives. Yes. Or a popular vote for anything. There were people who are just like, travesty! The Warriors made a coordinated campaign and they conspired with
K-pop
fans, and it was like,
and it's like, but He was fifth in the player vote.
Yeah, and like, sixth in the media vote.
How many cable... Well, actually, I have a question for you, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
How many NBA players currently playing in the NBA right now are K-pop stans?
I mean, not...
Four?
It doesn't...
Maybe?
It seems like not a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just weird because, yes, he's not a great all-star, but you look into it for 30 seconds and you're like, oh, this makes sense. All the other forwards are hurt.
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are hurt. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Paul George and Kawhi
Leonard
are hurt.
And Draymond Green.
And Draymond Green's hurt. Yeah. And Anthony Davis is hurt. Yeah. Like, all those guys have played like 30 of the 50 games this year. And also, the Warriors are on TV all the time.
That's the thing. People don't understand is the Warriors are on national TV literally once a week, most times twice.
And
players just watch the TNT games.
Yes, just because you have League Pass and you're watching the game very closely, that is not what the players are doing. That's
not the media. Or
media.
Or the fans.
That's not what you that's not what you do if you're a real
And every week fucking Jeff Van Gundy has been like having a career year. He guards the best guy. He's shooting threes at a 38% clip.
Yeah.
Like they're just reading the Raymond Ritter script that he handed him. But like,
well, the other thing is
just
what
All-Star games are, and I hate it. It sucks. But also, the All-Star game doesn't matter. It's for babies. It's never good. And we should honestly normalize weird All-Star votes.
Yes,
that's my take. Like,
what do you
remember,
okay? Here's
Sean,
what
you remember when the MLB was like trying to decide which player should be their mascot for a season, and a bunch of Twitter got together and almost had Eric Sogard.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. For like
Eric
player
Sogard,
of the
a man
yeah.
who looks like a Revenge of the Nerds guy.
He is a Poindexter.
Yeah.
Also,
we
not
need to do that
really
more.
That great at baseball.
Or
yeah.
when Zaza almost made the All-Star game
or,
when they
or,
first
or,
opened. Yeah.
What about when Sanjaya advanced every week or when People Magazine had an online vote and Hank the Drunk Angry Dwarf was voted the most beautiful person in America? Because
or when Betty White hosted SNL.
Yeah. So here's the thing. What do you think these people think the point of the All-Star game is? Because really, they're just trying to, the NBA wants fans to just engage with it at any point. Because this is crazy, Joey. It's an exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean anything.
Well,
and it's actually...
it means something to the man who invented the Elam ending.
Yes. Elliot Elam is very... Or Jason Elam. It's the kicker from the Broncos who writes Tom Clancy novels about a kicker, right? Joey, okay. So...
Before you get to what you're going to say, I just want to go on record saying... I don't know if I've ever...
No, they're usually not...
Like,
I'm trying to think
of
more
than a normal game. I would rather watch just a regular game.
Yeah, because for the most part... Okay, so in baseball, they've decided that the winners should become... Get home field advantage in the World Series. But also, they intentionally pick middle relievers. I remember the first year the Giants won the World Series, it was helped... Oh, no, I guess not even the... Well, yeah, it was helped because, like, a middle reliever for the White Sox had given up a double to the third-best catcher in the National League. And because of that, the Giants got to open the World Series at home, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't make any sense. And it wasn't like you were watching the game and you were like, you know what? These third stringers who are going to be in the seventh inning, because they're still not playing the game any differently, they're really gunning for that home field advantage.
Right.
Especially this third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who was pinch hit in the eighth inning, whose team won't sniff a World Series for another quarter century.
Well, here's my question for you, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
Would the NBA All-Star game be better if... Like the MLB All-Star game, every team just had an all-star.
Would
that make people less annoyed?
I mean, it would just, like, people just want to be mad. Like the more people watch basketball, the more unhappy they become with mm-hmm. basketball.
Yeah, that is especially if your last name is Van Gundy.
Well, so I've had to, like, watch the Warriors very diligently this mm-hmm. year, because I'm often writing recaps after the games.
Yeah.
And it has made me enjoy the rest of the league so much more. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, hey! That's kind of good. Evan Mobley, look at that! And then I look at Twitter and people are just like, oh, God, what is Nick Nurse doing at the beginning of the second quarter? And I'm just like, I almost just want to mute anybody who live blogs a game of any sort. So I'm just like, what are you doing to yourself? There's 82 of these. And it's weird because I'm not trying to knock the people who do this, but and especially like Kelly Dwyer. Our friend Kelly Dwyer is a guy who notably would just watch every basketball game and it ruled. And he'd write behind the box score. But there are a lot of people who are at a much lower level who feel the need to watch so much basketball. And it's like, no one's making you do that, dude. Like, it's just like, treat it like a normal thing. Like,
I like how our conversation about Andrew Wiggins All-Star has become, get some other things in your life you enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also, I mean,
and might I suggest Apex Legends? Roundball Rock has a club. Just look up Roundball Rock on Apex Legends.
I mean, the other thing I would say is that Andrew Wiggins is having a pretty good year.
He's been really good.
People think that he's still a very marginal All-Star, mm-hmm. but this is not at all the worst All-Star selection right. that has happened
now, like,
in the NBA. It's weird that he's starting, but like,
personally, I would prefer, like, he and Desmond Bane have very similar numbers, and uh-huh. I would rather reward Desmond Bane than Andrew Wiggins, but the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like,
that would
whatever.
Be ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
If Desmond Bane was, but at the same time, it's just like, sometimes, like, they're not going to start two centers in the All-Star game. Like, mm-hmm. no one, and also, I apologize, and he's a really good player. Nobody likes Rudy Gobert. I'm sorry. People on the Utah Jazz don't like Rudy Gobert. Like, oh, why did all these fans weren't watching enough screen assists? It's like, no, people don't really like him. His teammates don't particularly like him, but they don't have to.
He also gets picked last when he makes.
Yeah. Like the players don't enjoy him and the fans don't enjoy him. And that doesn't mean he's any worse at basketball. It's just, there's no way to make people like Rudy Gobert, because Rudy Gobert is kind of fundamentally unlikable, and also does not like, he either doesn't care or he is way too thirsty. And there's no like normal way, like
I would say that's the definition of being French, though, right? Either you're Pepe Le Pew or you're Gerard Depardieu, right? There's in between.
That's why Tony Parker was like, I'm going to marry an actress. And he's like, but I'm going to cheat on her all the time. I'm going to build a water slide sex park in my own home. Okay. So what I think about the All-Star game is that they're kind of shitty. They're exhibitions mm-hmm. that are in the middle of the season where, for the most part, everybody doesn't want to get hurt. There is this idea.
I will say there's one cool thing that's happened in an All-Star game ever, and it's when the NBA tried really, really hard to get a 43-year-old Michael Jordan a game winner in an All-Star game.
Yeah, that rule.
And
that
Sean
ruled.
Marion D'd him up so hard he missed it.
He blocked a shot into the crowd. And finally, they were in double overtime of the All-Star game, and Kevin Garnett was just like, I am going to dunk on every play so we can fucking go home.
All right. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. There is this constant idea that there was some time in the vague past where everyone really cared about the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And I think that might have been true at a time when, like, the All-Star winning share was like 6 weeks' salary. You know what I mean?
Well, I would also say I think it was also true when basketball games were not constantly nationally televised.
Yes. Yeah, it was like rarer to see these players. Like,
yes.
Oh, I get a chance to, you know, I live in California. I get the Warriors locally and not even all the games. And I get to see the Lakers a lot. Wow, Alex English.
Yeah,
I didn't even know what this guy looked like, you know?
Yeah.
But basically, All-Star Games have sort of always had this. And the NBA has worked so hard to solve this non-problem. So, okay. So we have a fan vote. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But my pitch would be that the All-Star Game is not for people who watch 500 basketball games a year. It is actually for casual fans who maybe watched the dunk contest and then realized, oh, there's a basketball game on mm-hmm. tomorrow night. There's no other sports on. The Super Bowl's over. Let's see what these guys are like. And for that, like if you're trying to appeal to the casual fan in the All-Star game, a lot of things make sense. A fan vote, for example, mm-hmm. for the starters. That's five of the guys on each team. Most of those guys are going to be pretty good. Even if they're not, the coaches, the serious coaches, are going to mm-hmm. choose seven more guys. Mm-hmm. There's the chance for maybe like one or two weird fan selections. Mm-hmm. But instead, the NBA is like, we're keeping the fan vote. Mm-hmm. It's worth 50%. Mm-hmm. Then there's a player poll that's 25%.
And they and care then less than media, the fans.
Yeah. And then there's a media poll that's 25%. So it's going to still be frustrating, but it's also going to be really, really confusing for a casual fan. And then we've got the game. Well, is the game the East versus the West?
No.
Are we going to be able to tell who's facing each other? No, there's a schoolyard pick mm-hmm. of a random selection of guys.
2 weeks before.
That happens 2 weeks before on basic cable.
Different night on basic
cable. On a different night and like before all the games start. You wouldn't even accidentally see it. You have to seek it out. And then are they going to be wearing like the uniforms of their team so you can identify them? No, they're going to be wearing a weird All-Star Game only thing. Mm-hmm. And where are their names going to be? Like on their shoulders, like at a normal game when you could read someone's name and know who they are. No, they're going to be in the middle of the back and they're going to be really small. So if you're watching in the second quarter and you're not like a diehard fan, mm-hmm. how are you going to just be like, oh, that's obviously DeJounte Murray on Team LeBron. like what is happening? And then even in the game, they're like, well, it's not competitive enough. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to play a basketball game. It's not really going to be a basketball game, though, because we're going to score it by quarters. Mm-hmm. And you know what the winner gets? Well, the winner doesn't really get anything as much as one group of children in the stands is going to be competing against another group of children in the stands. And if Luka Doncic misses a shot, yeah, for medical bills. And if Luka Doncic doesn't make a three for Team Durant or LeBron, whichever one he ends on, one of those groups of children doesn't get a recreation center or like medicine. Like they make it so that like one charity wins, but really it's that one charity loses. The NBA could give that money to both of them. They just decide to deprive some of the charity because again of a schoolyard pick and like, I guess Monty Williams's rotations for Team LeBron and or Durant. And then you're like, oh, so it matters who wins every quarter? No, not at the end, because then there's also an overall score, and they play to a certain point total that never happens in another basketball game the entire season.
Or any sport you've yes. ever watched before. Yeah,
never, never. Any game. No game does that.
Well, I imagine like, I guess some
21.
Weird
I guess the game yeah, 21.
A card game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like
blackjack.
I guess like, yeah, like a cribbage. So it's like that. So
darts. There's that darts game where you like start at 500, right?
Yeah.
And you count down.
So say you watched a couple of Thursday night games and like the ABC games on Saturday night. And then you watch the All-Star game and you're like, what the fuck is happening? The intro takes 40 minutes. There's a breakdance group.
Sting plays.
Yeah, there's charity going on, and they're like kind of playing hard, but they're kind of not. Like, and for some reason, everyone's like, "Yeah, that's right. Kyle Lowry took 2 charges in the final 2 minutes. That was way better than people throwing half court bounce passes for alley oops." And I mean, the Rising Stars game is so much more insane, Joey.
I am mad about the Rising Stars game because it's now like a weird because A, the Rising Stars game is actually
fun.
It's fun. It sucks. Like, as a basketball game, it sucks. But it's,
but
like,
you get to watch all the guys. Yes. Like, that's the whole thing. Yeah. You're watching the guys.
Yeah.
That is All-Star Weekend. Watch the guys.
And so normally guys who would be on the Rising Stars teams that, like, fans would want to see, Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
Are not on the team now, so we can watch G League Ignite players get their asses kicked by NBA players.
But also, it's insane. Okay, because they already had it really weird.
It was already bad.
It used to be last year,
Michael Mulder made it for no reason.
Well, because it was the U.S. versus the world, where the NBA was like, no one's into this game unless it's really xenophobic. And then they drafted the rosters, and they're like, oh, yeah, like half this team is just going to be Canadians.
Yeah.
And there's no one who's like, oh, those Canadian foreigners. Like it's always a surprise when you find out someone's Canadian in the NBA. You're like, oh, wow. Like, RJ Barrett? Really? And so they've tried these different formats. Like, rookies versus sophomores was perfectly fine. You could have rookies
and
sophomores.
Rookies versus sophomores.
That's fine. Or you could have half rookies and half sophomores, East versus West. That would also be fine with me.
Yep.
What I think is really weird is having 12 rookies, 12 sophomores, 4 G League Ignite players, and then they're separated into four random teams of 7 to play a round robin. Like again, say you're like, hey, I heard Jonathan Kuminga's an exciting rookie. I'm going to watch this rookie game. And you're like, well, he's not there, but a couple of defensive specialists,
and
some
also
of whom are 23 years old, and a 17-year-old.
And 5 guys who might make the NBA.
But you kind of don't really know. They don't really play that many games. And they're playing a weird round robin. Can you understand the rules? No, you're not going to be able to understand the rules. They're probably also going to be wearing special Nike G League Rising Stars games jerseys. So, like, good fucking luck. Unless you've been, like, studying the rivals' rankings. And you're like, oh, yeah, I've been following that guy since he's 15. He's 17 now, but he's on the Ignite team. And he should play 2 minutes for, you know, Team Kia or however. And I don't even know how you're going to all the teams. Like, how are you supposed to keep track of anything that's happening?
But don't worry, Sean. The dunk contest has Juan Toscano-Anderson.
The dunk contest, the one thing that, like, sometimes the dunk contest is good, sometimes the dunk contest is bad, but let me tell you how you do the dunk contest, Joey. Everybody gets 2 dunks in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 best guys go to the finals.
Yeah.
They do 2 more dunks.
Uh-huh.
That's the contest. That's all you have to do. Don't do it at halftime. Don't put a time limit on it. Don't put a wheel out there. Like, it's a dunk contest. You can't mess it up, except they keep messing it up. And so this is the All-Star game. We have a more complicated ballot for All-Star starters than the Electoral College. You can't tell what anyone's wearing. The score doesn't make any sense. The game takes 4 hours somehow, even though it doesn't count. And then even the rookie sophomore stuff, like the most well-run part of All-Star Weekend somehow is the celebrity game.
No.
Because at least then you're like, okay, Team Common. I can get behind Team
Sean,
Common.
That's not the most well-run because that is also confusing. Because it's like, okay, what?
Oh, yep. Okay, go ahead.
It's like, okay, well, who's okay? But like, it's Team Common, but he's like, not the coach, and there's weird coaches, and sometimes a celebrity will switch teams at halftime as a joke.
This is mostly a Kevin Hart problem, yeah. But I agree. The thing
only thing that isn't broken at All-Star Weekend is the one thing that only I like and no one else likes, and that's why it's not broken, and it's the skills challenge.
Oh. No, the skills challenge is terrible now. The skills challenge used to be okay, but now it is a half-court shot contest, which was the problem with Shooting Stars. Like, they keep making these things where they're like, okay, it's going to test this thing, it's going to test this thing, and then it comes down to who hits a half-court shot faster. And you're like, what? That's, like, you're like, flipping coins at that point.
Remember when Bill Simmons spent like the first
you did mention his name, Joey.
I'm sorry.
I believe we should ban the DH, long putters, extra points, the NIT, and pickoff throws. You really want to know what I believe? I believe in the 4-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food.
When Bill Simmons spent like the first 10 years of his career demanding they play horse at the All-Star game, yes. And then horse was the most boring shit in the world.
Yeah, people watched. People were like, oh.
It was just Kevin Durant hitting 18 footers while against Rajon Rondo,
Rajon Rondo actually made a lot of threes in that, but Kevin Durant was like, I don't care. I'm just going to keep.
It wasn't even threes. Kevin Durant kept shooting elbow jumpers that eventually won.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And, like, no. Baron Davis was in it, and he tried a trick shot and could not make it. You know, it was terrible.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It was like, somehow the big three understands these fundamentals better than the NBA, where they're like, yeah, there's a 4-point shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get fouled, you just shoot once, and you get the value of the point. Either way, it's two or nothing.
What is the weird thing the foul. Big three has where it's like a, instead of
the
like
fire, the fire challenge.
Yeah, what's the fire challenge? Explain it.
Okay, so instead of a video review on a foul call, they just go one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's like so much faster, too. And they play to a number, too, but the number's like, a normal number in the NBA All-Star game. It even then, if it was like first team to 120, that would be something. But the NBA, like, again, they've just got to outsmart themselves. They're like, okay, you take the third quarter score, you multiply it by the mean of the charitable donation. And it's like this weird thing where you're like, yeah, first team to 147.
Sean, you know what all this is, right?
What is it?
This is all means testing, dude. Yeah, this is why the NBA is the most neo-lib fucking place on earth. What would happen if the Democrats won.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. If they had more power, it would still be like...
Sorry, so not we the can Democrats, just... because they don't like to win. The neo-libs won.
Yeah, but this is like Kamala Harris's America where you're like... All right, we heard what you're saying. You said you wanted more money because everybody couldn't go to work. Here's what it is. You fill out these forms and there's a lottery. 5 people get all their rent paid. Mm-hmm. Like, just these bizarre things where you're like, no, just give everybody $1,000. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but that wouldn't be enough administration to it. Okay, so... The guy who's drafting all-stars first, he has to pick the reserve second. And then they're kind of trash-talking each other, but it's really fake because LeBron has, like, a team of writers actually arranging his draft jokes. Oh, and it's LeBron every time drafting. A guy whose charisma drops every time he's on television now. Like I'm not, again, not taken away from him as a player. He has scored a lot of points, but like we have just seen it all and his public shtick is so false.
Well, and it's what's funny is unlike, say, you know, I never want to give props to Kobe. Right, because I don't like Kobe. But remember when Kobe, when he got old, it became like there was like more theatricality to his phoniness, but also in a regular interview, he would act like a normal person more.
Yeah. He would just like in the intro, somehow he had this insane underbite, like right. as if his lower jaw had moved. And like he was always in a helicopter in commercials. And then he'd talk to him after a game and he was like,
yeah, he's like honest for the first time in his life.
I'm comfortable letting myself.
He'd be like, yeah, that guy's really good at basketball. Something he never would have said. LeBron has gone the opposite way, where I feel like he used to be a really genuine persona. And now it's like the most phony shit in the world.
His social media is always like, great going, young blood. Great watching you, Rafael Nadal at the Australian Open. And you're like, that match started at 3 a.m. A couple of years ago, you slept through a party that started at 6 p.m. for your own company. Like, it's just, I don't know who he's playing to exactly. Because people who are like LeBron stans, they are sold. They have been sold for a really long time.
I would argue I used to be a LeBron stan, and I'm, like, out on it now. But, like, young LeBron, when he was, like, funny, I loved LeBron.
No, now
Heat
it's...
Heat LeBron, it's... when he was, like, kind of, like, an asshole, I even liked Heat LeBron.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't...
Crying LeBron after beating my team in the finals, I even liked that guy. Yeah. But since that moment, everything else has fucking sucked. That was the end of real LeBron. He, like, cried out his soul and is now just a husk of, like, brand and capitalism.
Yeah, like, synergy and, like, it just He's feels like so hollow.
Like, if a corporation was a robot.
Uh-huh. I mean, he kind of is a corporation and he kind of is a robot. But
well, you know who else is a corporation and a robot now? His son.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Do you want to go over this story, Sean?
I would love to go over this story. So we got some patents.
Okay, Joey. Well, first off, I want to make it clear. I was making fun of this to a friend of the show, Katie Heindel, earlier today. And she was like, I don't really like this because you're making fun of a kid. And I'm like, this kid did not know that this happened. You are making fun of Rich Paul and his dad. Right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is like, this is not something a 17-year-old is doing on his own. And again, he has another year of high school after this one. Mm-hmm. Nothing is happening yet. But it's just weird that they've kind of commodified him.
Mm-hmm. LeBron James' oldest son.
Uh-huh.
LeBron James Jr. Computer camp.
He's 17 and a half years old. That's right. You've seen him. Now, this was broken by, I believe, the Boardroom account.
Uh-huh. Kevin Ace's account.
It's actually just Boardroom now.
Yeah, it's Rich
Sean Parker told them to
himself.
Drop the right? Sean Parker.
Rich Kleiman and or Kevin Durant got this scoop themselves.
And breaking, all caps. Breaking news, because this was hot off the wire. Bronny James has filed trademark applications for BJ Jr., Bronny, and Bronald, and plans to enter the worlds of NFTs, video games, and apparel. Wow, what a debutante he is. He's planning to enter the world of video games, finally. Thank God.
I cannot wait.
Joey, as someone who...
I cannot wait to play Dr. Bronald.
Dr. Bronald. Oh, my God.
The mobile puzzling, the mobile puzzle game. It's a match 3 game for your cell phone where you also have to, like, buy keys while playing match 3 to redecorate Bronald's house.
Uh-huh. And then Dr. Bronald occasionally just has conversations with, like, Flo from Progressive.
Yeah.
And you can't skip it. It's 9 minutes long.
And every 30 seconds, you have to watch an ad. And that ad is for, like, a weird, like, like a weird game developed by, like, like a third world country about, like, getting chased by doctors trying to vaccinate you.
Right. And then somehow you have to like open a pipe. And sometimes the ad washes away the bad doctors,
but then you catch on fire.
Then you look at the game, and it's nothing like that.
Yeah, but then you download the game, and that's not even that. It's also just a match 3 game where you redecorate a house. And it's called Zaire Williams Jr.
Yeah.
Sorry, Zaire Wade Jr. Fuck, Zaire I screwed Wade up my Jr. joke.
Well, Zaire Williams would be a funny one, too. can we just talk about these names for a second? Okay, Brawny.
Bronald, look, I'm going to say right away, I actually like Bronald. It's very funny sounding.
It's so weird.
It's weird, but that's why I like it. It's so weird I like it. To me, it means that, like, people actually do call him Bronald. You know what I mean?
Right, you don't trademark
that unless your funny friend started calling you Bronald, and now that's what your teammates call you, right?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
But the one that really bugs me here is BJ Jr.
What? BJ Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
So, Bron James Jr.? Bronny James?
They do call his dad Bron, but you think it would be Bron Jr. then.
Right. BJ Jr.
No one calls LeBron James BJ.
The L-E is the most fundamental part of his name. It is not the Bron. It is the L.
I've heard people call him LBJ, so he could be LBJ Jr.
But if he's LBJ Jr., it sounds like he's the master of the Senate.
Yeah, exactly.
That
sounds like he's going to assassinate his dad to be the king of the NBA.
Yeah, but it's also always funny when someone has, like my nephew's initials are start with JFK, which I kind of lobbied for and didn't tell anyone that was the reason, but I think they liked it anyway. It's funny to have a baby named JFK. It'd be funny if he was like really going by LBJ, but BJ Jr. is like,
it's so weird.
It feels emasculating. It feels like kind of making
him.
Who
is the coolest BJ ever?
Like, the guy isn't there the a restaurant? BJ Honeycutt from MASH? Right?
But it's got to be the pizza restaurant. The guy who started the pizza restaurant, right? With the world famous Pizzuki.
I don't even know that.
BJ's Brewhouse and Pizza?
Oh, God. That place isn't good, is it?
No, of course not. But they have a Pizzuki, the world famous Pizzuki.
What a Pizzuki is.
It's a cookie with ice cream on top.
Oh. There's a BJ on Barney. Mm-hmm. There's a BJ on the Righteous Gemstones.
I'll tell you who's not cool. BJ Novak.
No.
I'll tell you who else isn't cool. BJ Armstrong. Ask Domantas Sabonis.
Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
Boy, who turned down a long-term contract in favor of getting released. That's the worst. Like, you can tell people have short memories in the NBA because people are like, Dennis Schroeder's agent, he really screwed up. Dennis Schroeder at least walked away with like a 1-year, $6 million deal. Like, Mota Yunus was literally released just because Houston was like, we don't want to deal with you or your agent anymore. And he was like, what? And then, yep, career's over, dude.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for just BJ.
Oh, great. Okay.
It stands for blowjob? No.
Oh, God.
All right. In arts and entertainment, I'm seeing BJ Novak, BJ Porter, don't know who that is. BJ Ward, don't know who that is. BJ Whitmer, who's a professional wrestler, I guess. Billy Joe Armstrong is on here. I don't think he counts. He's not a BJ.
I think I'm looking at maybe the wrong page.
The initials BJ as a given name or nickname may refer to.
Oh, I need to click on that. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, that section of the general BJ place only listed that and then Boris Johnson and Billy Joel. BJ Porter is like a a Mr. Show dude.
Billy Joel Jr.
Oh, BJ Porter's Scott Aukerman's partner.
Yeah,
Joey.
No, I know.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
I was just trying to.
That was correct.
That's boring for the listeners.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just couldn't remember who he was, and I was like, "No, Joey, it's him." BJ Surhoff. See, BJ Upton changed his name to Melvin Upton Jr.
and got better, right?
Yeah. Oh, more respectable, at least. Definitely made more money.
Anyway, there's never been a cool BJ. I guess that's why.
There's none. And I apologize to BJ Birdie, the mascot of the Toronto Blue Jays, but, like, I'll be honest, I forgot they even had a mascot, so how good can he be?
Okay, I have found one cool BJ.
Okay.
It's BJ Blazkowicz, who is the name of the hero in Wolfenstein.
Oh, yeah. He killed a lot.
He killed all those Nazis.
He killed a lot of Nazis. Yeah. We're into that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, all right, pretty good.
You know what else we're into, Sean?
What's that?
Rich Paul getting yelled at by Adele.
Oh, God. That's. I mean, look, I intentionally didn't learn anything more about that story, Joey.
Me either.
Because it was so beautiful how it was. Let me find the tweet.
Black Sports on BSO Online.
Yes. Our man Robert Littell.
He's not our man. He's been canceled. Do not like him.
You know what? I gotta say the female reporter for Black Sports Online that I met and hung out with Jeff Perlman at the Big Three's second draft when Terrence Williams had a meltdown. After 300-pound Bonzi Wells was drafted ahead of him, she was cool. Okay,
so,
right, here's
the headline, Sean. Yeah. Adele won't leave Rich Paul's mansion until he promises not to break up with her, semicolon, Vegas residency put on hold because of it.
Oh, see, I saw a different headline also from Black Sports Online, Joey. This was details on Adele not being able to get through her Vegas residency rehearsals because she was too busy crying and shouting at her boyfriend, Rich Paul. I'm sorry, that's the greatest headline I've ever read.
Which, I've got to say, Sean.
She was too busy crying and shouting. They were like, Adele, we have to rehearse. And she's like, no! What are you doing? Okay.
Which, I've got to tell you, the real reason I bring it up is because it's crazy that in Rich Paul's personal life, he's now having, this is like a parallel to his business life.
Yeah.
He is Daryl Morey here, or the Vegas residency is the Sixers.
No, he's making another client of his sit out. And they're like,
okay,
they're
so
like,
in
Caesar's
his personal
gonna...
life, he's also Rich Paul. She is Ben Simmons, and Caesars is Daryl Morey?
Caesars is Daryl Morey, yes.
All right, okay, got it.
And except he's also like Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers in his personal life, because Adele's like really disappointed at him and wants to yell at him. And yeah, I mean, I just don't think it's a great week for Clutch Sports, Joey. Mm. So
they got the BJ trademark.
They trademarked BJ Jr. They blew, you know, this is probably an 8-figure residency for Adele in Vegas.
I mean, hold on. Let's be fair to Adele here. I don't think Adele is repped by Clutch Sports.
But I'm saying it's... Look, Rich Paul seems to have blown this whole thing up.
I'm just saying, I think CAA is going to swoop in here and make sure she does that residency.
Oh, well, yes. I'm just saying, he's Clutch, you know? And then there was a... Look, Ramona Shelburne she put her nose to the grindstone. She pounded that pavement. She definitely interviewed a lot of sources that weren't handed to her by Clutch Sports or Jeannie Buss. And she came out with this, like, what's going on with Ben Simmons article, which just was like, I mean, look, Ramona Shelburne just, it's not really so much a reporter as much as a recorder. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Look, she might block me if she hears this, and, you know, and I'm willing to take that take that risk.
I don't think she did hear it. She's too busy at Ronda Rousey's house.
Yeah, she did seem like a wonderful softball player in college. Mm-hmm.
She seems like a very nice lady, in fact.
Yeah, because why would she ever have to not be?
Yeah.
Like, her whole thing is to not ever make an enemy.
Unless that person is Lakers Paladin, who I'm Lakers pretty Paladin. Sure she's blocked.
he's probably blocked, yeah. And so there's a story that's, and it actually says, the specter of the Ben Simmons saga haunts Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. So like the prospect of communism in the 19th century, the specter of Ben Simmons is haunting them. And by all accounts, he's in great physical shape. But according to sources close to Simmons, who could that be? Who could that source be? According to sources close to Simmons, who are being yelled at by Adele at Caesar's Palace, he continues to tell the team and those who represent him that he is not mentally ready to get back on the court again. Not now and not ever in Philadelphia. So, I get that he doesn't feel like he's he is ready, and probably he wouldn't be. I'm sure he's bummed out. But the weird thing is that this is clearly an article spoon-fed by his management, and he doesn't come off very well in it.
Well, one of the things he's mad at is they didn't make a surprise visit to him.
Yes. Yes, that he said they knew he was at this they knew where he was working out in L.A. He was at a very prominent gym, and they could have gone to see him. Mm-hmm. And he said that Doc Rivers called him and texted him, and he ignored those calls and texts, but he still wanted Doc to show up where he was working out. And that is not a reasonable thing to want. Mm-hmm. When you aren't answering someone's phone calls. And in fact, many people would take that as actually sort of disrespectful, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you were ignoring someone's calls and then they showed up at your workplace, would you be like, oh, thank God, this is what I wanted the whole time? But also, there was a Clutch Sports story many months ago about Sixers players getting ready to get on a private plane and Ben Simmons telling them not to.
Sure.
Anyway, I'm not blaming Ben Simmons for this. This is because I don't think Ben Simmons cares about this story being out. This is his management having this story being out. Ben Simmons is probably not having a great time.
Do you think they put out this story to hide the fact that Adele was yelling at him?
Yes. Yes, that's what it was when they're like, oh, God. And they're like, we don't have any information that's flattering to Ben Simmons. And they're like, we'll call Ramona. She'll write a pretty long article about it. And it's like, what is it going to be about? Well, you know, he's working out.
He's listening to the Donald Sterling tapes in his car. never forget, Ramona Shelburne recorded an entire podcast where she made racist Shelley Sterling into like a feminist icon. Terrible.
Well, actually, there's like seven paragraphs in this article about how Ben Simmons wants to be alone. He wants no attention, no cell phone cameras and crowds. And then this article has like five paragraphs about how there was a picture of him playing basketball with Dion Waiters that went on an Instagram story. And that like ruined him. And it's like, well, why is this article? Anyway, Clutch Sports, man. You know what Adele was the most mad at, though, Joey?
What?
She was going to be able to do a residency with the Dallas Mavericks for $70 million over 4 years. Rich Paul told her to turn it down.
All right. Speaking of Nerlens Noel, we have to talk to our guest. We have a very special guest today. Oh, yeah. It's our friend. You might follow him on Twitter @ Jason Buford.
He's a writer. He's a very good Twitter follow. Yeah.
And more importantly, he's a Knicks fan who recently released a mixtape Not a mixtape. A diss track.
Yeah.
About how much he hates Tom Thibodeau. We talked to him about how that happened, how he went from loving Tibbs to hating Tibbs. And here's that conversation with Jason. We're here with Jason Buford, writer. He might have read him in Rolling Stone, maybe GQ, maybe Pitchfork, maybe Stereo Gum. But most importantly, you've seen him on Twitter, at Jason Buford, talking about both the Knicks.
I love how the Twitter's most importantly. Because obviously.
Talking about the Knicks, talking about hip-hop, talking about white women. Would you say that's your, if you, those are your three biggest trending topics, Jason?
I would put the movies ahead of the white women.
It's true. Yeah,
I think that's true. Yes. Yes.
I put the movies, and you know, let's, you know, I, women in general, but yes, obviously, you know, we love a white woman, you know, clearly, but like, you know, I don't want to lump myself in with those fucking losers who are only out here talking about the milk. No, I definitely do talk about the milk. We also talk about other things as well. So I would say that is like my five. You know, you got hip hop, mm-hmm. You got the Knicks, we got movies, we got, you know, all of the above, and then we definitely do have the women. Yeah.
Sean, what do you think your five is?
Oh, HBO women or HBO white women?
No, your five like Twitter.
Oh, my trending topics. Yeah, I'm
like
sorry.
The five
Jesus
things
Christ.
You tweet about the most.
The five things
Glad
I tweet about
the
most.
You're listening. Glad to know you're listening.
No. I understand what you were saying. I got confused looking at the rundown. I think I tweet about so the thing that's the most unique that I tweet about is my father's long-standing garbage can race with the neighbor across the street, which has unfortunately effectively ended because the neighbor got sick, and now my dad takes out both sets of trash cans, although he takes out his trash cans first.
But so you're telling me when there was one set of footprints outside of your dad's neighbor's house, it was when he carried him?
He carried him for Ed. The rival in the garbage can race. Basketball for sure. I would say like a lot of things that my parents say. Now that I'm saying that out loud, I'm feeling bad about that.
Yeah, you do tweet a lot of shit your dad says.
I did. It is. Yeah. And he does not enjoy that, but he's also not really on social media, so it doesn't really matter. I guess probably it would be like baseball, football, basketball, garbage cans, shit my dad says. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think mine is buying a zoo, Detective Harry Bosch, Beach Boy Mike Love, that's three, right? Basketball, and the 2000s English quote unquote hip hop band The Streets.
You do that is a lot. I think I also tweet about State Farm commercials, an unusual amount.
All right, Jason, we have you on here because mainly because last year around this time you were a big Tibbs defender. You were loving Tom Thibodeau as a Knicks fan. And now, just last week, you released a diss track about Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play just a little bit of that right now, and we'll play the full thing at the end. But
I used to say that I was happy that Tibbs got no bitches. Because he focused on the Knicks. That's good. I do two pieces a week. I could do four if I wasn't always trying to get after it. I'm not focused. It's crazy. How Tibbs supposed to be nice with no bitches? You're supposed to be focused. If this is how you coach with no bitches.
Jason, you are muted.
My shit went out. My fault, bros.
No, you're good. So, Jason, how did you go from being New York's preeminent Tibbs fan to releasing a Tibbs diss track?
Let me stop you right there. I was never into Tibbs all like that. Here's what I said about Tibbs when we hired him. One, I thought that he was the best coach on the market. Because people were saying, like, oh, we should have hired Atkinson. We should have hired this guy and that guy. It's like, we just got off of David Fizdale, bro. Like, that nigga was the worst coach. You feel me? It's just like, let's respectfully to Fizz. Like, I don't want to pile on Fizz like that, but he was really trash as a coach. And so it's just like, at least we have a guy who's, like, competent in his job, even if he's flawed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yeah, so, yeah. Like, I always knew that Tibbs was a flawed coach. Don't get me wrong. I mean, anybody who, like, I mean, he almost killed Luol Deng when he was the Bulls coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like, you know what I mean? Like,
literally getting spinal taps and still playing like 43 minutes. Get out there, Luol. Get out there. Yeah, yeah.
This is when you're in the hospital. Get out there. Yeah. I mean, this is absolute sicko behavior. And so, like, obviously I knew that, like, Tibbs was a flawed coach.
Uh-huh.
And then the thing with the Wolves, I kind of chalked up to Carl Anthony Towns kind of being a little bit of a baby and Jimmy Butler just going, like, haywire. Like, you know what I mean? But still, I knew that there was, like, issues going on, right? And I felt like, okay, this could either go a few ways. I always knew that Tibbs had an expiration date, which is, like, he always has an expiration date. Coaches like that always, like, eventually, you know, you tire out of them. But I thought that at least he'd bring some professionalism, some work ethic, and some structure to the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I was right about that. Last year, they were a solid team. Randall was excellent. Guys like Reggie Bullock had career years. RJ.
Burks.
Yeah, I mean, Burks this year, I'm done with Burks. But Burks was... I can't with Burks anymore. But Burks was good last year. And then we had some rookies quickly. I thought played real well and had some they have some talent and they have I felt like there was some potential there.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. But Elfrid Payton still started like 82 games last year. I don't know how many, it would have been like 75 to like 82 games. And uh-huh. That was the most ridiculous shit like ever. Like it didn't make any sense. Like, and none of the reasonings Tibbs made for it made any sense. Like, he's all about structure, but like there's a level of like if you have structure but you keep putting the wrong dudes out there, structure doesn't mean shit if it's the wrong motherfuckers playing. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So it's just like he had Elf out there during the regular season. And it just wasn't working out. It wasn't working out at all. Yeah. Like, Elf was trash. I mean, they were getting outscored when Elf was on the floor. And then they had traded for Rose midseason. Rose was excellent. He was really really good last year. And then, so they had Rose, Burks, and Quickly kind of at, like, the guard positions, like, rotating. And it was working out. And yeah, it's like, it was good. It was good.
I mean, yeah, you guys made the playoffs.
Bing bong. Fourth in the East.
Bing bong. Yeah. Fuck your life. But what's happened?
Number four defense.
Right. Number four defense. Right. I mean, Mitchell Robinson was hurt midway point of the year. And then we had Noel out there starting. But like, it was still like a fun team. The Knicks were back. It was good to watch. It was good to watch. I mean, this year it's been a mess.
Yeah, what happened? That's what I want to have you on to talk about. Like, really happened? Because we're not, right. We don't watch the Knicks every night.
But
how
okay.
did it go from bing bong, fuck your life, to we need Tibbs the fuck out of here?
Well, it's weird because it feels like they improved the team with their offseason moves. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really lose anybody.
They added Quentin Grimes, and he's rocks.
I like Grimes. We'll get to Grimes later.
Yeah.
But
they added Kemba Walker. They added Fournier.
Listen, man. God bless. Listen. May Allah bless Kemba Walker to death, bro. For real. Like, Kemba is a New York legend, Bronx legend. I went to high school in the Bronx. Like, uh-huh. I mean, we used to always talk about Kemba. Like, Kemba is that guy. But, like, my man is washed, bro.
Yeah, he does not have a knee. He has one knee now.
Oh my god, he's washed, bro. He can't get past anybody. He can't get to the rack, bro. Like, he can't really get past anybody. It is what it is, you know. Like, he plays the pick and roll, and he's barely a threat. Like, he can spot up and shoot still off of a pick and off of a pick, and he can, you know, he can have one really good game out of like 15, but like, he just can't jam on that knee anymore. You know, it's like,
yeah,
him was done. So that move was always a, Maybe there's a it's a high risk, high reward thing that you know.
Yeah, because he's getting like the mid level or something.
Yeah, he's getting the mid level. It's not, you know, we're not giving him that much money, but it was always just like, hopefully this works. Like, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Fournier, I think, is the one thing where it's like, damn, we kind of thought we had a solid player, and it looks like he's a little bit overrated. Like, you know, like he's not as good as we kind of thought. I assume that getting him meant that we didn't need Bullock, which I still don't think we need Bullock, but a revision Bullock is not the reason why the Knicks aren't winning. For anybody out there who thinks maybe that might be the reason, uh-huh. That's the reason. Yeah, revision Bullock ain't nice like that. But Fournier as a player may not be the right player for this team. He's kind of a chucker. He's kind of a guy who in order to get his 17 points a game, he needs to really be shooting a lot. That's why he worked in Orlando, because he was really one of the few options they had.
Yeah.
Here, it's not really like that. He's not really a guy. I thought he was going to be similar to J.J. Redick. He's not really like J.J. Redick at all. He's not really quite the shooter. He's not the off-ball player. He's not really the smarter, you know, he has the smarts that Redick has. And defensively, he's been awful. Yeah, bro. Like, honestly, like, it's Bullock has nothing to do with it, but like, Fournier just, I mean, there's time. If he's not shooting well, he doesn't do shit else.
Yeah. Well, he does, bald. He is bald, right? That is one thing he does out there is be a bald I mean, white man.
Yeah. Just, you know, French guy with tattoos.
Like, yeah. 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 He's like, he's like, what if Marco Bellinelli was French out there?
Well, like low-key whacker, because like Bellinelli, Bellinelli low-key is like Bellinelli will hit Bellinelli like when he was on the Spurs, like he could get a bucket. Like he really
could trust me. I watched him when he was with the Warriors score 47 points in, or maybe it was 43 points in a summer league game. Oh, I know all about Bellinelli.
Bellinelli is like kind of nice, like low-key. Like not nice, but it's kind of nice. Whereas Fournier is like not nice at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Fournier looks nice, but is low key not nice.
Yeah.
Where Bellinelli is not nice, but is low key kind of nice. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
So, other than Tibbs, Jason,
yeah.
What other Knicks are you just like done with?
Burks, like, it's not Burks' fault because Tibbs is playing him way too many minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But
just Burks? And Fournier, I guess.
Burks, Fournier, Noel Noel on the offense is fucking clueless.
Is he eating hot dogs at halftime again, like he was in Dallas?
No, that shit was wavy though. See, if he did that, I had to respect it. Like, if he did that, I respect that. You know what I mean? Like, nah, if he did that, I respect it. But on offense, he's fucking terrible. Like, he's just like on offense, he's just awful. Who else am I? We'll get to Randall. Randall
feels like a whole separate conversation, right?
Yeah, Randall's a whole separate conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Randall is a guy who is good, but he's probably not best player on your team good, right?
Yeah, his head is not in it this year for whatever reason. He is like emotional, he's like not doing any of the huddles, he's like now hoping his teammates are. Yeah, he's Randall's a whole separate thing.
Okay, so back to Tibbs. Who would you? So you want Tibbs gone like right now, right?
Yeah, I thought that Tibbs' expiration date would be a few years from now, but I personally think it's right fucking now. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's right now. Yeah.
So who would you like to see replace Tibbs? John McEnroe?
Larry David.
Ben Stiller.
Spike Lee.
Spike's a good. Yeah. Me and Spike
actually would not be terrible.
Spike wouldn't be terrible. It could be Spike. It could be me and Ben Dietrich.
Uh-huh.
It could be me and Dietrich. Yeah, it could be Dietrich. Could be Larry David. We
Frank
might
Isola.
Isola is nowhere near the bench. We might need to do a black head coach and a Jewish assistant coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be tight. Yeah.
Yeah. To kind of, let's see if we can mend the two tribes.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, yeah. Like
a coaching staff that looks like New York City.
Yeah,
exactly. Farrakhan head coach.
Dominican trainer.
Yeah, Dominican Farrakhan head coach. Maybe Albert Brooks assistant coach.
Uh-huh. Okay, how would Eric Adams do? The new mayor of New York, Eric Adams, how would he do as the Knicks coach?
That's a good question. You know,
would he sleep in the garden?
We lose a lot of games, but we would look good doing it. We lose mad games. Yeah. And then in the press conference, he'd be like, we're losing games because we're losers. He'd be like, yo, we win more games if we would stop taking L's and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He would claim that the players didn't have enough swagger and shit. But no, he's a psycho, but he does look good. He does look good all the time. I mean, the peacoats are fucking fire, bro.
It's true.
And the peacoats are, I mean, the scarf and shit too. Like, yeah, the guy looks like he belongs on Mad Men. Nah, it's really God, fire. And so I think if he was a coach, we would definitely be the best dressed team, best look team. And also we would lose probably 70% of the games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would try to play bully ball, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't be successful.
Yeah.
In the same way the NYPD is not successful in any of their racist tactics.
They're what if we just parked a Suburban in the, we're bad at defending the corner threes. What if we just had a cop drive a Suburban into the corner and refuse to move it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly how it would be. Yeah, he would devise a scheme for some illegal shit to happen.
Uh-huh. And they're like, who's driving it? Just some guy on steroids from Long Island? That's who it is.
I was at the MLK Day game, which I go every year.
Oh, yeah, he made that speech.
And he made that speech. And motherfuckers are booing him, which, obviously, bro. We obviously need to boo the mayor all the time. And so,
I was at a summer league game this summer where the mayor of Las Vegas gave a speech and they booed him.
Really?
And there is
what does
no
the mayor
one...
of Las Vegas even do though?
But what was so funny is I was looking around and I was like, none of these people are from Las Vegas. This is just socialist basketball Twitter people instinctively booing any politician, like they should.
Joey, would you like to tell Jason your theory about mayors?
What is my... there's never been a good mayor?
There's never been a good... you admitted it to there's never been a good human mayor.
Yeah, when you name a dog a mayor, they're still good. But there's never been a good
Dinkins,
mayor.
So Dinkins, genuinely... When David Dinkins was the mayor of New York, he genuinely was there is something fundamentally wrong with the NYPD. Mm-hmm. He genuinely said that.
Yeah.
So I will give Dinkins some credit in that, he genuinely was out here, telling the truth about what...
Oh, for sure. There are definitely, mayors with some positive aspects, but anyone who's, their goal is to be mayor of anything, bad person.
Yeah. There can be good fictional mayors. Joey, you carved out an exception for Duh Mayor.
Yeah, Dumb Mayor was good. Yeah. I forget.
Do the right thing. Yeah. The mayor for Do the Right Thing is a very sweet old black man.
But
yeah.
he's a powerless figurehead. Jason, I want to ask you.
The city council had all the power.
Unfortunately, couldn't stop Sal and his family from being the most racist people on earth.
So, Jason, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, well, before we get to the real thing I wanted to ask you about, but how do New Yorkers, so they're mad at the Knicks, obviously, but that's nothing new. But where do the Nets stand in your average New Yorkers fan's eyes now? Are they laughing at Kyrie and James Harden wanting to leave? Are they enjoying it? Or do they still just not pay any attention?
Have you seen the show Mad Men?
Yeah.
The Nets are the Don Draper, I don't think about you at all thing. I don't think about them at all. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think about them at all. Because it's they could perhaps win a title.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day after they win the title, or even that same fucking night, I'm going to be looking at like draft picks for the Knicks and being right. like, oh, plastering this on Twitter, like being like, oh, I like this guy for the Knicks in the draft. And that'll get more likes than a, like, oh, wow, the Nets won a title.
then the Nets own account tweeting out the parade, the video of the parade.
Yeah. The parade, I mean, like, I don't even know where they're going to have the parade. Like, where are you going to have that? Like, I mean, they want to say that Brooklyn's a Nets town, but, like, I don't know nobody who in Brooklyn who's rooting for the Nets like that.
Right. You know,
like, well, and I was in New York right before the playoffs.
The yuppies on dates and shit, but you can go me, all my people, we're still Knicks fans. You feel me? So it's like, yeah.
I was in New York right before the playoffs, and the Nets were giving away like it was like a 2-for-1 deal for the first weekend of the playoffs, and you just had to be vaccinated, and you get 2-for-1. Oh yeah, tickets.
That's corny.
That's not a team with like a huge fan base.
Who cares, bros? Exactly.
Yeah, like, that was like a team that thought they were going to win the NBA title, and they're like, yeah, we can't really sell out game one in New York City.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people there.
If you go to the Garden, you can give them a fake fax and get it. I swear to God. Like, it's just like, I mean, that tells you two differences between two teams right there. It's like, you know, you know, if you're talking about, yeah, you need to be vaccinated to get into the arena and like, and we need help, you know, selling out the arena. It's like, that tells you all you need to know. It's like, it's not really real people out here who are,
no.
You know. It's all the, you know, the yuppies who moved to Fort Greene and Williamsburg. Yeah, and shit like that.
I thought the Nets weren't a serious team because I saw outside Barclays that one of the players pictured was Jeff Green. I'm like, this, no, come on.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, like, the Knicks have had like the weirdest motherfuckers probably pictured out there. I mean, Quentin Richardson's probably been out back in 06. Uh-huh.
I mean, classic Nick Quentin Richardson. Everyone thinks of Q Rich as a Nick.
But that's a classic Nick signing that did not work out at all.
Yeah.
Didn't they trade Zach Randolph for him too?
No. We signed Richardson after he had that season with the Suns.
The Suns.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I was like 8 years old when this happened, by the way. Don't ask me about shit like this. But Richardson had that one season where he led the league in three-pointers. Mm-hmm. And Nick signed him afterwards. And I swear to God, he like shot like 30% from three.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't have Steve Nash.
And Amari throwing in
the
back.
Oh, and Ed Sean Marion taking the other attention. Yeah.
He had Stephon Marbury and Eddie Curry. A little bit of a difference. Just a tiny bit of a difference.
Yeah. Didn't he also have Joe Johnson there? So it was like, yeah, Quentin Richardson was a little bit open that year.
Yeah, he was like a little bit open, and then he was not open at all.
The team played at an incredibly fast pace. Yeah,
it turned out like the never mind. I was gonna make a Jonathan Bender joke. Those two games Jonathan Bender had that year were amazing. where they played him at point guard for some reason on his surgically repaired knees. All right. I think it's time to get to the real question, right?
This is the meat, yeah.
Jason, yeah. I would like you to tell our listeners who your personal Mount Rushmore of HBO white women is and why.
Wow, okay.
Okay, let's do this.
And just remember, Amy Klobuchar does not count. She's not on HBO.
Yeah. Well, she's been on Real Time with Omar.
It wasn't, time out. It wasn't Amy who I was talking about. It was her daughter.
It was her daughter. I know.
It was her.
It was Miss Abigail Klobuchar that I was talking about. I forget after I tweeted that, and the homie who works for Vice, Trey Smith, was like, yo, you're flying way too close to the sun. And I was like, yo, that's definitely probably. Back. Maybe I should. Like, I don't want the Secret Service just to pull up on me and be like, "What are you saying?" Because like, it was like Klobuchar's daughter, and it was like an eye emoji. I like the eye emoji, not the two eyes, like the
right.
third eye,
the third eye. Yeah, the Phil Jackson one.
And so that's like a little problematic because it's just like, what does that even mean? Like, what are you even saying? So yeah, it was Miss Abigail, the daughter. Okay, let me see. You know, it's early. It's only been 3 seasons of this show, but number one has to be Miss Siobhan Roy.
Mm-hmm. I knew she was gonna make it. I knew it.
It just has to be. It's crazy because like Shiv, like I'll text the homies in my group chat with my guys from high school and shit, and I'll text like I'll just put up a random like photo of like Shiv. Shiv's booty and shit. Niggas would be like, yeah, let's get it. It'd be like mm-hmm. that. It gets a rise out of all of us and shit.
I feel like if you know with Shiv, right?
It's also crazy. Like, she's gotten like thicker throughout the seasons. It's like season one, she was like not that. She was like hot, but only just because there was like she was like the only woman on the show.
Kind yeah, of. Yeah, yeah.
Her Rava, like who was like, which? But I won't say anything about Rava because I've met Natalie Gold in real life. She's a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, very kind individual. So I will not talk about her in that fashion. But but Siobhan I've never met, so we will talk about her in that fashion. Yeah. Shiv like in season one is like hot but like not that hot, and then mm-hmm. season two, oh wow, Shiv is kind of hot, and then season three, like season three she straight up just has a fatty.
Like, they're also like really dressing for
well, it. She by can't season three shit. Too. I think that shit is on purpose though, like Siobhan yeah. can't dress at all. I think mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a homie in media, and she was also saying like, yeah, I don't think Shiv can dress. And it's like, yeah, Shiv can't really dress. The hats are fucking bad too. Yeah. It's like Fashion Nova shit. Like, I don't think really Shiv can really dress, but like but for all intents and purposes, like, I mean, the dress she's wearing in the last episode, it's like, it just, the curves are, it's perfect. I mean, the curves are perfect. There's also one scene. Don't ask me why I remember this. Obviously we know why. There's also one scene where in the Our Jessie's episode in season two, where they show her like walking on the grass in like a striped pinch.
Oh dance. Yeah.
Strictly for just the ass shot. I mean, strictly just for the boot. Strictly. Yeah, I mean, Shiv's got to be number one. And the way she speaks to Womp Scans is also just like, I mean, I respect Womp Scans for the move he made. I also think, like, low-key, like, bro, you should be happy with what you've done.
Yeah.
I wish he would speak to me that way.
All right, Jason, who's number two?
All right, number two. April from Eastbound and Down.
Oh, okay, hell yeah. All right. Yeah.
April is bad. April might be one, bro. I'm not going to lie. April might be one. I might have to change that. We'll see. Well, I'll finish it and maybe we might. But April from Eastbound and Down, this might not be in order. April from Eastbound and Down is, you understand simultaneously why Kenny Powers is always rejecting her, because it's like, she's too bad, and Kenny's always thinking about it. By the way, Eastbound and Down is one of my favorite comedies. One of the greatest comedies of the 21st century. If Kenny's like constantly thinking about her, Kenny cannot like be a great pitcher again. Uh-huh. It's kind of like what I used to say about Tibbs, where it's like, oh, Tibbs has no bitches, which is a really good thing. But like, and it's kind of like what's supposed to be for like Kenny. It's like Kenny cannot have April because he needs to be a good pitcher. That's how bad April is. Like, April is. Oof, April's. Shocking.
All right, who's number three, Jason? You got two more spots.
The Southern accent on April is like, yeah. All right, number three. This might be a little controversial. Okay. You know how I was always really into that? I think people forget. Because The Wire is such a, like, The Wire is such, like, a serious-ass show. I mean, The Wire is really funny. That's one thing about The Wire.
Yeah.
Wire is like really, really funny. Like, it invented a lot of cop jargon, and like The Wire is really funny, but or not invented but perfected it. But Rhonda Perlman from The Wire, I always thought Rhonda was kind of a baddie. Rhonda plays the DA.
Yeah, she's dating.
She's dating McNulty the first two seasons. McNulty's a demon. And then she dates Daniels, Lieutenant Daniels, in season 4 and 5. I always thought Rhonda was a baddie. Yeah, always mm-hmm. Toronto. I always this, Toronto.
You know what's funny about that pick, Jason, is you've been tweeting a lot about Miranda from Sex and the City, and she's like the Wire Miranda.
He is like the Wire Miranda. You know what? Let me. I deadass forgot about my girls in Sex and the City. So here's the thing. Here's the problem with picking one girl from Sex and the City. They're all really bad. I mm-hmm. realized that Charlotte is also Charlotte's problem. On by the way, for the listeners out there, I have been watching Sex and the City. All the way through for the first time, and so obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. For the first time, all the way through, I've been watching it for the first time. I've seen some episodes here and there, but I've never seen it all the way through from front to back. Mm-hmm. So, all four women are sexy. Seriously, all four women are sexy.
Sure. Yeah. It's in the title of the show.
I mean, all four women are sexy. Charlotte, like. The attitude sometimes, she's really a conservative woman. And like, I've dated my fair share of red flags.
I've read your tweets.
Trying to roll like Dawn knows. I'm not trying to roll like that no more.
Uh-huh.
And so like, she is a conservative woman, but she is kind of a baddie. Like Charlotte is like, Charlotte, I mean, such a beautiful face too. Like Charlotte's kind of a baddie. Samantha is like, I mean, Samantha would ruin my fucking life. Honestly, she really would ruin my life. I would be concerned about like my mental health after fucking with Samantha. She might fuck my shit up. Seriously, I'm on. Well, Samantha actually fucked my shit up, ruined my career. I would have the yips about writing after fucking Samantha. She would like, give me the yips or whatever. Carrie, like, she's just really annoying, but like, I mean, there's outfits that Carrie has, which like the first couple of seasons, Sarah Jessica Parker is a baddie. The first couple of seasons,
mm-hmm.
Miranda to me, like baddie. Miranda's always been a baddie. Like,
so is Miranda getting four? Who's getting the fourth spot?
Oh no, we're saving. You'll know who's getting the fourth spot. We're gonna throw out Rhonda. I forgot. We're gonna throw out Rhonda and we're gonna put Miranda in there.
Great. Okay.
I like it. All right. This is it. You got one last spot.
So you gotta talk about the show Girls. I mean,
come on. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go with Shoshana from Girls.
That is an upset, Jason. That I was not expecting that, but keep going.
I mean, listen. We all know that I, in the past, you know, controversially, I find Lena Dunham to be attractive. I didn't.
You're unlike Odell Beckham in that way.
See, that's where she gets herself in trouble, though, because Odell Beckham probably wasn't thinking a goddamn thing about her.
No. Like, yeah.
Obviously not. He doesn't know who the fuck she is. But it's like typical white woman is like, she like, you know, just thinks everyone's against her and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, I remember I tweeted like, you know, she looks all right in this pic. And people were like mad tight about it. It's like, all right, look, I didn't say that like she was like the baddest woman on earth. I just said like, yo, you know, you wouldn't get after that a little bit. I would. I mean, shit. So, but like, I don't think she's like badder. I don't think her character hand. I think her character hand is bad. Don't get me wrong. Like, I would definitely get after it. That's a Brooklyn woman right there. I mean, I'm fucking with a woman like that right now. You know what I mean? So there's a level of just.
All right, Jason, we are running out of time on our Zoom meeting.
There's a level of just like that.
Yeah.
But like Shoshana, petite woman. Yeah. So, we like that. So we're gonna put. So what did I say? We're gonna put
Shiv,
April from Eastbound and Down,
Miranda Shoshana
from Girls.
I love it, Jason. Jason, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Jason.
We would love. We've been wanting to have you on for a long time.
Yeah, come back again really soon.
Yeah, anytime.
After they fire Tibbs.
All right. Thank you to Jason. Please follow him at Jason Buford on Twitter. That's Jason with a Y. Subscribe to his music Patreon.
I really have enjoyed reading Jason's Rolling Stone pieces. I have not dived as deep into his Pitchfork pieces, but it's just great.
Jason's great. Follow Jason.
Yeah.
Sean, that's our show.
That's our show.
Is there anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, if you're in the Bay Area, I will be doing half an hour up front at Cobb's Comedy Club from February 10th through the 12th. That's five shows. I'm doing like half an hour. And then Canadian YouTube star Noel Miller will be closing things out. So it's just it's a two-hander, Joey, at Cobb's. But if you want to see me do a half hour, you got five shots at that, baby. Oh, and then read me on Golden Cinnamon. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Read Sean on Golden State of Mind. as for me, you can always follow. Oh, I think I'm going to be on Fight Island this week.
Oh, hell yeah. Do you know do you know who's fighting?
No, I don't know. Okay. But it's our friend Sam Wiles and Jordan Dahl's podcast about a fictional island where people fight.
Yeah.
I think I'm supposed to be on it. If not, it might be next week. Either way, just listen to Fight Island. It's a really good podcast.
Love those are two good dudes.
We stan Sam and Jordan.
yeah, very much so.
But other than that, as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on 5/26/15, I tweeted, "Think I broke my knee trying to get on my motorcycle. Tried to whip my leg over real quick and kneed the luggage rack so hard I threw up." Sean.
God, that's the second best one.
Sean, we gave you a day off today.
Yeah.
No song this week. Because we want to play Jason's crazy Tom Thibodeau diss track its entirety that's playing under us. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Stop means testing the NBA.
Yeah, just, yeah.
And Adele, get your shit together, dude.
You got to say goodbye to that guy.
Fuck tips. I know you not my coach, nigga. I know you not finna be my coach, nigga. I know. You're fucking up my team, nigga. You're fucking the whole season up, nigga. I must apologize to Timberwolves fans. I thought they was being depressed and downtrodden and soft. But they was right. Coach Tibbs is whack. Trash. Doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't even out minutes well. He doesn't enter substitutions well. Thinks this is hockey. She's putting another five of these niggas in here. Mix and match a little bit, bro. What are you doing? You gotta get Grimes in there playing with the best players. What's wrong with you? You gotta get Obi in there at the five, at the end of the game. Put Randle and Obi together to see what happens. Maybe Randle might play better, nigga. What's wrong with you? I used to say that I was happy that Tim's got no bitches. Because he focused on the Knicks. That's good. I do two pieces a week. I could do four if I wasn't always trying to get after it. I'm not focused. It's crazy. How Tim's supposed to be nice with no bitches? You're supposed to be focused. If this is how you coach with no bitches, I think I would just prefer you to go out and try to get girls. If this is how you are with no hoes, what are you when you're trying to get after it? This is scary, bro. Now I think I actually might want him to get bitches. Go out, do your thing, because this shit not working, bro. I thought you was watching game tape. Were you like... When Brooks plays point and starts at point, Tibbs plays him like 38 minutes a game. When he is the bench player, Tibbs plays him like 24 minutes a game. It, you know, 20 to 24 is what you should be playing Brooks at. Instead, now that Brooks is starting, suddenly he's playing most of the minutes. It doesn't make any sense. What are you doing, bro? Quickly's gotta be in there at the one. He's gotta be in there at the one. They play better when Quickly's there. Sometimes Quick doesn't shoot that well. Okay. still, you gotta get after it. Just know what he's doing. He's fucking up my team. We're not a title contender, obviously. But we could be a little better. We would look a little better out there if we had a coach who had his head on the swivel. Instead, he's thinking about God knows what. I know he's not thinking about bitches. So what you thinking about out there? What you doing? And you made me fuck up my fucking headphones too, nigga. It's your fault. Goddamn Tom Thibodeau, man. Seriously, I think he should go out and try to get girls now. Go out and try to get some ladies. If you can't do this shit, if you can't hack it with not getting any bitches, how you finna hack it when you are getting girls? I'm scared. Maybe you'll get fired after you get a girl. I defended that man last year from Midwesterners and Californians that were talking about, oh, he's too rough on the players. Oh, no. I defended him from that. This year, what's good with this guy?
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.